Yes, this is in fact the farm tractor on the Bonneville Salt Flats, being driven by none other than the legendary Ab Jenkins. The machine would set a speed record for tractors in 1935 that would stand for 81 years. But why? How? And how fast was it? That's what we're going to explore here today. The awesome story of the racing and speed record chasing Alice Chalmers Model U factory special tractors of the 1930s. In full disclosure, I love antique tractors and have owned more of them than I have old cars. It's why this story has always resonated with me, and it continues to capture my imagination. Trust me when I tell you, this is worth your time to learn about, especially if you didn't know whatever happened in the first place. In order to fully understand this story, we have to understand the background of how we got here. The Alice Chalmers Company was one of America's great industrial behemoths of the early 20th century. They were incredibly diversified, making everything from steam engines and water turbines for hydroelectric dams. They even built one of the first particle accelerators the world had ever seen as a contractor. Now, many gearheads know them for their tractors, and of course, that's where this story will focus. AC, Alice Chalmers, as big as it was, didn't exactly stand on the most solid financial footing at all times. They were a company good at a lot of stuff, but great at really none of it. So their myriad of products were typically not leaders in their own segments. Production volume of the stuff was massive, but profit margins never were. Up until the middle 1920s and before the company placed a guy named Harry Merritt in charge of its tractor division, the tractors were a massive loser for Alice Chalmers. They simply didn't have the market share or recognition to sell enough volume to make money. It was said that Merritt was brought in to kind of close down the entire division of the company, but something else happened. Merritt managed to redesign the existing product, which helped, and then he landed a large contract to build machines for the United Tractor and Equipment Company of Chicago. Now, this was a consortium of former Fordson dealers left with nothing to sell when the Fordson brand closed in 1928. The machine that United wanted was pretty large for its time. Capable of pulling a 3 or 4 bottom plow and packing about 30 horsepower, Alice made them to the specs provided, and United promptly went out of business. Incidentally, United's chosen company color was a bright shade of orange. Now, at the same time this new machine was coming into production, if you believe it or not, Merritt was on a business trip to California. Now, he claims to have seen acres of wild poppies covering the terrain, and upon his return, the company ditched their drab green paint and switched to the iconic Persian orange that would be their calling card forevermore. They also kept making the United Tractor under their own name, calling it the Alice Chalmers Model U. Whether it was the poppies or the fact that United's already suspiciously close shade of orange was more impactful than Alice Chalmers green, things forged ahead. Now, as it turns out, the Model U was not a huge seller. It was seen by many smaller farmers as too large, and many larger farmers as too small. That said, the machine was soon to become one of the most important tractors in the history of American agriculture. Like so many things in business, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And for Harry Merritt, it was a guy named Harvey Firestone. Now, these two guys were pals, and when Merritt wanted Firestone to have a Model U tractor to work on his large family farm known as the Homestead, it didn't take long for the two to talk about the potential benefits of rubber tires on farm tractors. This was an idea that no one had yet explored. For as long as tractors had existed to this point, they rolled around on large cleated steel wheels. With a top speed of 5 miles an hour or less, this was no big thing. Sure, they beat up the operator some, and sure, they made a mess of a field, especially when things got muddy, but it was the way of the world. As many of the roads were dirt around farms, the cleated steel wheels, some looking like medieval torture devices, could navigate them easily. But the world was changing. More and more rural roads were being paved. More and more farmers were farming more and more land, and with larger tracks to work, speed became something they started to pay attention to. With this in mind, Firestone and Merritt came up with an idea. Firestone had a set of airplane tires sent to his farm, and the experimenting began. Even the smooth, treadless airplane tires, when properly set up, made the steel wheels look as archaic as they actually were. Starting with tests at 70 psi, then gradually working their way down to 12, which gave the best surface flotation and ability to work, they knew they were onto something. Refining the design by adding bar-like structures to the tires, the performance was a revelation. Not only did they put more power to the ground, not only did they allow for much higher work speeds, but fuel economy was increased by 25%. There was an increase of 15% of the drawbar test weight, and the operator experience was exponentially better. These guys had definitely discovered agriculture's path forward. Now, as it turns out, good news travels fast. And Goodyear was onto the same thing, whether because they found out about the Firestone experiments or because it was a collective awakening, the rubber tire revolution was on. Or was it? Farmers were notoriously slow to adapt to new technology back then, especially during the Depression. Now, even something as basic as tires, they were skeptical about. Would the rubber poison the fields? Would the rubber fall apart under harsh working conditions? What was going to be the negative of these rubber tires? The bottom line is that the farmers were definitely going to need to be sold on this idea and the usage of rubber tires. So how do you do that? Starting in 1932, inflatable tires were offered as an option, and the machines were modified to maximize their impact. The Model U was now sold with a fourth gear that would achieve between 10 and 15 miles an hour, and in an interesting modern twist, the gear was blocked off unless the buyer opted for the rubber tires. Remember, this was the era when tractors would go 5 miles an hour tops, so effectively doubling or tripling the speed was pretty incredible. To show what was possible, AC and Firestone decided to perform demonstrations. Pulling a four-bottom plow at 5 miles per hour was among the first, and then they started to show how the tractors could drive on public roads. In 1932, a Model U drove from Milwaukee to Chicago, averaging 17 miles per hour while pulling a trailer to the International Livestock Exposition. Incidentally, the building it was held in was the same building that would later host indoor drag races in Chicago in the 1960s, and I've done a video on that if you'd like to find it on this channel. The revelation here is that, again, until this point, tractors went 5 miles per hour flat out. 17 was crazy, and if it averaged 17 miles an hour, it had to have been hauling along at perhaps twice that in certain stretches. Between Merritt, Harvey Firestone, and the brilliant promotional mind of Alice Chalmers, W. L. Z. Brown, they came up with an idea. If 17 miles per hour impressed people, what about a whole lot more speed? History has lost or at least kept hidden the methods used by the company to produce a high-speed tractor, but we can take a couple guesses at it. While changing the transmission ratio and fourth certainly helped, by the time you understand how fast these things were going in the end, it had to have been more than that. In my own opinion, to maintain the stock look of the tractors and not use some sort of a fancy transmission or rear axle, they deepened the ratios in fourth and then added a taller ring and pinion. But along with that, they likely added an auxiliary transmission in the bell housing with an overdrive gear. That sounds crazy, but owning my own 1940s tractor currently with an overdrive, it takes a 15-mile-per-hour Ford N-Series tractor and allows it to run 27 miles per hour, and it's all nicely hidden inside the existing equipment. Either way, what came next was stunning to the farmers of America. Alice Chalmers hired some of the most famous names in American auto racing and speed to be their representatives, and for good reason. Frank Briscoe, who was a dirt track star and a regular at the Indy 500, Barney Oldfield, who was the single most American race car driver ever to this point, even though he had been retired for more than a decade, and the third man was Ab Jenkins, the famed land speed racer and endurance record holder on the Bonneville Salt Flats. Their job was not only to promote tractors, but it was to race them wheel to wheel. Three specialty machines were built. Now, these used the engines that were claimed to be stock, but they were more than likely hot-rodded to some degree. Most importantly, they took the 1932 Milwaukee to Chicago road trip concept and brought it to the next level. In June of 1933, Alice Chalmers made headlines at the AAA Champ Car Race in Milwaukee when a farmer named Albert Schroeder pulled a four-bottom plow at 5 miles per hour in front of the crowded grandstands and then handed the wheel over to Frank Briscoe. Ditching the plow, Briscoe then set a new world speed record on the dirt oval by traveling more than 35 miles per hour to the astonishment of the packed grandstands. The act was grown into a multi-tractor show by the middle of the summer, and Oldfield would take on the likes of Jenkins and Briscoe, along with the occasional AC factory dealer representative at state fairs across the nation. By August, Oldfield was in the newspapers talking about taking the speed record away from Briscoe, and by the fall, he was ready to do it. Oldfield managed an incredible 64.28 miles per hour on a straightaway blast to claim the world speed record at the end of 1934. With no suspension and huge unbalanced tires, it had to have been a terrifying ride. Anyone who has ever been on an old tractor going 15 to 20 miles per hour can speak to the suboptimal handling and general attitude the machines have. Also, Oldfield was in his mid-50s at this point, and these feats did reestablish him as a true American racing hero. Believe it or not, in 1932, he'd actually tried to qualify for the Indy 500 on a comeback tour, but he realized he was far too slow and quit. These tractors were Barney Oldfield's redemption. So to keep the promotional flame alive, an Alice Chalmers factory rep named Charlie Hill road-tripped one of the tractors at an average speed of 45 miles per hour from a Milwaukee plant to Omaha, Nebraska. This was a feat of human endurance and misery on that open seat in very cold late fall conditions. In 1934, the show wasn't just back, it was even better. Booked into fairs and races across the country, Alice Chalmers added the legendary Louis Meyer to its driver lineup. Now Meyer, who was a multi-time Indy 500 winner, carried with him a huge amount of cachet as a racing superstar in his era. The next act up, Ab Jenkins. He bumped the Oldfield speed record to 65.45 miles per hour in October of 1934 on an open roadway. What did it look like? Rather than tell you, I'll show you. As we can see in this period footage from the day the 64-mile-an-hour record was bumped ahead by Ab Jenkins, he had his hands full. Watch closely as the tractor comes barreling toward the camera and past from a different angle or two. You can see that the whole thing is kind of porpoising front to back, indicating again that the massive rear tires, which had no provision to be balanced at this time in history, were definitely giving the driver a handful. Also note the chase vehicles. It is high-stakes poker when you think about the action being completed here. If there were any problem and Jenkins were to come off the tractor for any reason, hitting the ground going 65 miles an hour would be bad enough, but hitting the ground and then being run over by the guy behind you in the chase car, that would be the double whammy. As you can tell, the local officials were pretty excited to have such a big name in their town, and certainly pretty excited to have such a record set on their streets. 1935 would prove the crowning year for the promotion and a fantastic year for the Alice Chalmers tractor division. Understanding that their still sluggish sales were mainly because of the U's large size, the company released the smaller WC. Now the WC would go on to sell nearly 200,000 units, the most massive success the brand had. Oh, it was also the first tractor to come standard from the factory with rubber tires. Now, the exhibitions of speed and racing continued with the same rugged model used that were first brought out in 1933, and the month of June is where all this madness would peak. On the Bonneville Salt Flats, preparing to set a 24-hour endurance speed record at a new supercharged Duesenberg Model J, Ab Jenkins had his tractor with him. As you can see here, Jenkins drove the machine more like a horse jockey than a farmer, getting up out of the seat and taking the kind of tuck that a motorcycle racer uses. By stretching the limits of his own ability and courage, Jenkins took the same Model U he had run 64 miles per hour and surpassed 67, running 67.877 at peak speed. This experience was apparently enough for Jenkins to decide enough was enough and he never attempted to break the outright speed record again. If you watch this footage closely, you can see how the unsuspended tractor on those unbalanced tires is just a nightmare to handle at speed. It's actually wild that the tires didn't fail in any of this, nor did the driver. Ab Jenkins then averaged 135 miles per hour for 24 hours in his Duesenberg, setting a world record. Oh, and he drove the entire 24 hours. Believe it or not, he'd break his own solo endurance record multiple times and in 1938 average 161 miles per hour over 24 hours, which was a mark that stood until 1990. Now, Ab Jenkins' barnstorming tractor racing summer took a turn for the ugly at the Tennessee State Fair in September of 1935 when he managed to have contact with another racer at speed and flip his machine over. He broke his ankle, but it could have been far, far worse. Believe it or not, by the next week he had his ankle casted up and his tractor fixed so he could keep on racing in Alabama. Competing through October and November at state fairs in Georgia and other southern locales, he wowed the last of the crowds that would ever see wheel-to-wheel high-speed dirt track tractor racing in America. Likely deciding that their work was done, Firestone and Alice Chalmers retired the tractors, apparently selling them to customers who were perplexed as to why they didn't pull as well as they expected, but at a far higher top speed than anyone figured possible out of a tractor. No one knows where the three or more units ended up after the whole promotion was concluded. And now, the epilogue that made my tractor-loving heart sing. 81 years after Ab Jenkins ran 67.877 miles per hour, a former stock car racer, builder, and tractor lover named Jack Donahue had an idea. He wanted to not only break Ab Jenkins' record, but he wanted the fastest tractor of all time. Using an antique Ford N-Series unit as his starting point and consulting with the SCTA for Bonneville rules and the ECTA for their standing mile rules, Jack built the tractor. With airplane tires, a modified flathead V8 engine, virtually no suspension, and a roll cage built to the specs of both organizations, he attacked his goal. Now, there were teething problems and setbacks, but 8 decades after Ab Jenkins, Jack Donahue and his tractor, called 8 Incredible, went 101 miles per hour at the East Coast Timing Association's Standing Mile Meet in Wilmington, Ohio. Don't believe me? Well, here's the run, with me calling it.
So Donahue is racing in time only because Secondly, we do not have a class dedicated to tractors here. The previous record, if you will, was set by a guy named Ab Jenkins, who was a legend in the land speed racing world. Jenkins, in the late 1930s, early 40s, drove a tractor at some 68 miles per hour across the Bonneville Salt Flats, and it terrified him. Jack Donahue went 96 miles an hour last time we were out here at the Ohio Mile. That was in September of last year. And now the 8 Incredible with its flat MBA, modified gearing, modified body, modified front suspension, is trying to go into the triple digits for the first time ever. You can hear the thing working its way down the course. The motor kind of chewing the big rear tires, bouncing up and down, and the survey says,
wow!
Yeah! 101.1691 miles an hour, Jack Donahue's done it. 101.1691, Jack Donahue officially has a 100 mile per hour farm tractor.
This was one of the most awesome moments I've ever experienced at a racetrack, and for Jack Donahue, it was the accomplishment he had set out to achieve over the multi-year odyssey of building his tractor. How amazing. Now, I know somewhere in the clouds, Ab Jenkins was surely smiling as this happened. So that's the story of how racing tractors in the 1930s helped sell farmers on the idea of rubber tires on their tractors, and how it forever changed American agriculture. Taking machines people expected to see at 5 miles per hour and making them go 30 was wild for its day. Taking that 30 and making it nearly 70? That was jaw-dropping, headline-making stuff. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to hop on my own end, slip it into overdrive, and see if I can beat that factory rating of 27 miles per hour in the name of Harvey Firestone, Harry Merritt, Barney Oldfield, and of course, Ab Jenkins. Thanks for watching. Like and subscribe for more historical, racing, mechanical, and yes, tractor content.